Well, good morning. I want to welcome those who are in refuge to this service. And if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open to Hebrews chapter 10. Or if you need a Bible, feel free here in the auditorium to pull out that black NAS in the back of the pew. Or if you're in refuge, you can go back to the table at the back and pick one up. And that's our gift to you. In a moment, we're going to read two verses of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be talking about what God expects those of us who are members of Emmanuel Enid to be doing. We're going to look at the purpose for the church. And when I use the term church, I'm not referring to a building. I'm referring to you. If you have come to faith in Christ and you gather with other people who have come to faith in Christ, you are the church. And in the two verses that we're about to read, we find in the Holy Writ, that means in the Bible, precisely what God expects us to do. Let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see that little phrase there at the end of our text, all the more? Last night we were at Hannah Schreiner's wedding, and her father, who performed the ceremony, mentioned how Lisa, the mom of the bride, had been working hard with an army of volunteers to make that evening last night such a special occasion for their daughter. And they did. But I imagine Lisa, like my wife Rochelle, who's preparing for our daughter's wedding in Florida, the closer the day came, she worked all the more. If you're with Vance Air Force Base and inspection is coming and you know that day is approaching, you will work all the more. In this text, God says to us, because we see the day approaching, we as a church are to work all the more. Now, before I define for you from the text what it is that we are to do, let me ask the question, what is the day to which the writer of Hebrews refers? Well, it could be one of three possibilities. First, in 70 AD, judgment came upon Jerusalem. Jesus had predicted it in Matthew 18. That judgment was anticipated by the Jews. Hebrews was written just a couple of years before 70 AD, and the day referred to by the writer might have been the day that Jesus prophesied, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. That's a possibility. But as we have already seen in our study of Hebrews, the day could also reference the coming of Christ, what we would commonly call the second coming. That is the great day that we all anticipate. And maybe, third of all, it could refer to the day of your death. Now, in our case, living this side of 70 AD, we don't know which is going to come first. We don't know if Jesus is going to return to usher in eternity before we die, or we could die before he comes. We don't know which will come first. But let me tell you, that day is approaching. I wish some of you could be with me 24/7 as I'm with families of loved ones who die at a young age. Kay White died at 58. I did her funeral. Doug Faulkner died at 66. I'll be doing his funeral. I've done the funerals of kids who have died as teenagers, children who died in their cribs. You have no guarantee that you're going to live past today. Now, with that in mind, the day of our end as we know it is coming. We, as a people of God, should work all the more. Now, the question is, what is it that we are to do? A lot of preachers have taken this verse and have beaten their church members over the head for skipping church. I mean, if you grew up in an independent fundamentalist church that believes the Bible, as we do, you might have heard messages on this text basically saying, if you ever skip church, you forsake the assembly of the church, you're sinning against God, and so on. They have missed entirely the teaching of this text. This text is not telling us that we are to gather like this in an auditorium and sit and listen to somebody preach. That is not the meaning of this text. That is not what we are called to not forsake. Let me show you the three things God tells us as a people we are to be doing. Number one, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's our purpose. By the way, that can happen in a small group. That can happen where two or three people gather together. It should happen when we gather in a large group. But that's our purpose. That's the instruction from Scripture for us as a church. Every time we gather together, we are to consider how to stimulate one another to love one another and to do good deeds. Now, this word, consider, means to think deeply. It is used one other time in Hebrews, where the Scripture says, consider the Lord Jesus. We are to think deeply about Him. The writer of Hebrews is saying, when we gather together as a people, we are to think deeply how we can stimulate each other to love one another and do good for one another. This word stimulate is a strong word. In fact, we get our English word paroxysm from the Greek word. Our English word means an emotion that suddenly arises, almost like an attack. And thus, the translators have used the word stimulate. Now think about this. God's purpose for us when we gather is to provoke, is what the King James Version says. Stimulate one another to love people and to do good things for people. By the way, that's one of the reasons why our mission reports are so important. Some of you can't go to Poland, but you can give to help a women's shelter where we're taking people off of the street near Auschwitz, women who have been abused, who are abandoned, who are addicted to drugs or alcohol, some with children, and we're housing them in a historic building. That is loving people and doing good deeds. You say, well, I want to do something good for people in Enid. Well, folks, we are. Our church voted to establish Forgotten Ministries in our budget to assist Jeremiah and Sarah Harrion, not only financially, but also with volunteers. And I put up a video about Forgotten Ministries showing how Jeremiah went into a home of a lady here in Enid on Facebook. If you haven't seen that video, you need to watch it. If that doesn't move your heart, to love people and do good things for the poor and needed. I don't know what will. That's our purpose. Anybody that was at Abounding Grace, the banquet the other night, and heard the testimony of Chris and Tanya Myers, and you listened as they described how the people of this church came around them to assist them in a dark hour, you understand what it means for people to provoke one another to love and good deeds. This is what we are about. Now, having said that, we need to remember that if our concept of church is only gathering like this to hear somebody preach or people sing, we have lost sight of the purpose of the church. We are called by God to gather together to stimulate one another, to provoke one another, to love people, and to do good deeds. That's what the text says. Oh, but there's a second thing we see in this text. The text does say that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In fact, this is the third "let us" phrase in this passage. Let us not forsake assembling together, as is the habit of some. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's very clear. If you ever want to be challenged to love people and do good things, you hang around the church. You hang around people who know Christ. You are going to get this motivation to love people and to do good things because you're hanging around people who love Christ. And again, I'm not just talking about here. This meeting is part of the church, but it is not the church. You are the church. And if you want to be provoked and stimulated to do good deeds and to love people, you hang around Christian people. You can't help it. You'll be provoked and stimulated because you are with them. I heard a funny, almost tragic story yesterday about an eatery in Las Vegas called the Heart Attack Grill. A woman, the second in a month, had a heart attack while eating at the Heart Attack Grill. She was eating a hamburger that was named the Double Coronary. When you go into this restaurant in Las Vegas, they give you a surgical gown that you put on. If you're over 350 pounds, you eat free at the Heart Attack Grill. True story. All the waitresses are dressed as nurses. And it was big news on MSN that a second person in a month had had a heart attack while eating at the Heart Attack Grill. Duh. What do you expect? You go to the Heart Attack Grill to eat, to gorge yourself, you're going to have a heart attack. You want to love people and be provoked to doing good things, you hang around Christians. Now, that's one of the reasons why, if you're hanging around a church that all they're concerned about is everything but doing good and loving people, that's probably not where you ought to be hanging out at. Our mission given to us by God is to love people and to do good things. And again, I go back Thursday night being at Celebrate Recovery for our church and hearing an incredible testimony of a young lady who has struggled with lesbianism all of her life, who experienced rejection when she was just a child by her own parents, given up for adoption, sought the approval of her adoptive mother her entire life. As I listened to her share her testimony and the healing that was coming through her small group of women who meet with her and have met with her for years from our church. For heaven's sake, I thought to myself, this is what church is all about. Every time that woman gathered with our women who love Christ here at Emmanuel, she was provoked and stimulated because our people were loving and doing good deeds. That's what church is. You know, sometimes we get more interested in our comfort than our calling. Have you ever considered the fact that if we ever get more comfortable as a people with our comfort than our calling, we may have missed God? We are called by God to stimulate and to provoke one another to love and good deeds. The purpose of our church is to empower you to find out how you are gifted. And our gifts vary. But to empower you to use the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you to love people and to do good deeds. That's our purpose. And we have failed if we have failed to empower you in that. If you ever ask me, how do you measure success as a church? Listen carefully. We cannot, we must not measure our success by buildings, by budgets, by money, by numbers. We measure success as a church by how many people are being motivated to do good and to love people. Edward Judson, a missionary in Manhattan, put it like this: if we succeed without suffering, it is because others suffered before us. If we suffer without succeeding, it is that others may succeed after us. We must constantly be reminded what our purpose is as a church, and our text tells us. I ask you, how do you fit in this assembly? I look at Elton and others who come faithfully every Sunday morning, and you may be wondering, how do I fit in this assembly? Well, let me tell you something. When you just encourage people here, when you do something good, however small it may be, when you stimulate other people around you within your sphere of influence or people that you know in this fellowship, when you provoke them, when you stimulate them to love people and do good, listen, you're fitting in really, really, really well. But I close by showing you this. The third purpose we have as a church is to encourage one another. That's the fourth let us here. Let us encourage one another. The word encourage means to address, to speak up, or to call upon for the purpose of instruction, comfort, and exhortation. Listen carefully to me. Coming to church cannot be me-centered. It must be others-centered. Our strength at Emmanuel Enid cannot be measured by anything but our encouragement to love people and to do good things for them. Our mission is mandated by the text, not our preferences. And to whatever extent I fail as your pastor to encourage you to love one another and do good, I have failed in my calling. To whatever extent I fail as your pastor to lead you to love people in our community and to do good for them, I have failed my calling. What I am called to do is to remind you who you are and who your God is, and to encourage you through Emmanuel, to stimulate you, to provoke you. The word again is very strong. Paroxysm. To move with passion. to remind you that church is not about our comfort. It is about reaching a world that is lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the way that is done is through love and good deeds. In the video that I posted on Facebook, Jeremiah Herrien, he'd gone to purchase some propane for a heater that he had purchased for a group of homeless people who were living in a shack. No electricity, no water. And when he came back with the propane, one of the women in that building, tears streaming down her face, you could barely understand her. But the video showed the words she was saying. "I didn't think you would come back, Jeremiah. I didn't think you would come back." Why did she think that? I think that woman is probably familiar with the organized church in terms of the church doing things for the church and not for the community. I can't do what Jeremiah does. It's not my giftings. It's not my calling. But you know what I can do? I can do a funeral for somebody who has no church affiliation, because I reach out to their family and tell them as a ministry of Emmanuel, we want to do this for you free of charge. I can investigate this person's life, tell their story, show love and compassion. That's how I'm gifted. How are you gifted? It may just be writing a simple word of encouragement, as I heard Patsy Cox, as I heard it said about her at the choir banquet for years. Not 1,000, probably at least 2,000 or 3,000 times. She'd make a phone call, write a letter of encouragement to people in the choir. She was stimulating others by her love and good deeds to love and do good in the same manner. You can't help but be changed when you're hanging around a church like that. And by the way, many of you may not know, and I'm done with this. On Sundays now, we have small groups that are meeting in living rooms across the United States. How they worship is different. It varies from place to place. They'll listen to the teaching of the Word of God, but frankly, they can turn it off anytime they want, because I don't need them to listen to me in order to feel good. I want these people in living rooms to realize who they are, who God is, and what their calling is. All the more as we see the day approaching. This is not about us. It is about stimulating one another to love and good deeds for people who need Christ. May God remind us this morning from these two verses of the purpose of the church. Let's pray together.